Dear Father, thank you. Lord, you're able to speak in such amazing circumstances, Lord. As our sister shared already, Lord, you come and minister your grace and your love in unexpected ways. And I just pray, Lord, as we look at this prayer of your servant Jonah, Lord, may we learn what it is to draw close to you. Help us, Father, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a little summary. You can't run away from God. Did you know that? You can't run from God. He is everywhere. So, let's see what happens. There he is. The story so far. Jonah finished up in the water as a result of him telling the men on board, you can't stop the storm unless I go over the side. So they threw him over, and the next one, please. So there we have him. Right. There we have him. I thought that character was rather nice, yes. Right. It's funny, but the reason I've made it funny is because the next one isn't funny. Let's have a look at what the real picture was. That's the actual view inside the fish. Yeah? It was completely dark. And the thing that strikes me, first of all, about the whole passage, is that Jonah's prayer is, without any light, he couldn't read a prayer. There's no light in there. He didn't have a Bible. No Bible with him at all. And so what did Jonah do when he was inside the fish? He prayed. That's amazing. So let's have a look at this now then. And the thing about the prayer of Jonah is Jonah had no idea he was going to get out of this alive. Effectively, it was the prayer of a dying man. It was serious. It was a prayer of a dying man, and it's an amazing prayer. But, of course, we know what the prayer is because he survived to tell us the story. So we're going to be seeing a little bit about this prayer. Let's have a look at this next one. And as we come to read it in a moment, I put this up. This is the confidence scale. What I mean by the confidence scale is this. How good he feels about himself and how good he feels about his chances of getting out are concerned, yes? And as you read through the 9 verses of the Psalms, the scale goes, it starts at the bottom. You know, I mean, he's just finished getting swallowed and everything. It's not a good situation. So confidence, 0 to start with. Then he picks up a bit and then down again, and eventually he begins to rise as he thinks about what he's praying about and as he prays his prayer to God. So you'll get the feel of that, I hope, as we read the next few verses. Here we have them. Just 9 verses of his prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me, from deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Well, it doesn't take long to pray that prayer, does it? But that's chapter 2 of Jonah. I think it's chapter 2 of Jonah. And it's just Jonah's prayer from inside the fish. That's where it happened. And Jonah prays this amazing prayer. Now, there are a lot of things that are really staggeringly amazing. The more I've had to look at this, I've been so blessed. Let's just look at our first bit, yeah? I've got, what did Jonah do? Well, I've just got that first verse of the chapter. It says, he prayed. Right? And a question I ask is, what should a man do when things are desperate? Pray. You'd better pray, friends. You'd better pray. Mm. You know, there's no better place, no better thing to do than to pray to God. Right? So that's wonderful. And he prayed from inside the fish. Right. I don't know what the fish thought about it, but he prayed from inside the fish. And the question I've got to ask, and this was inside the fish, way down at the bottom of somewhere in the Mediterranean. Right? Now the question that's simple to ask is, where can God not hear your prayer?
Nowhere.
There is no place. If God can hear the prayer of a man under the sea, inside a fish, well, he can hear your prayer too, can't he? There is nowhere where you needn't and can't pray. Because God's there. That's wonderful. And then he says, he prayed to his God. His God. Not any old God, not the God that the sailors had been talking about, you know. He prayed to his God. The God we describe as the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of his ancestors, his fathers. And the thing that strikes me out, the use of the phrase, he prayed to his God, is there's a real relationship that Jonah has with God. In spite of his disobedience, God's still his God. And isn't that encouraging? If you've made a mess of things, God's still your God, you know. And he's willing to listen when you come and turn up and say, sorry, I'll try and sort things out with your help, Lord. Right? And the other thing, you won't notice in the verse, but it's absolutely, it runs through it all. Jonah prayed from inside the fish to his God from the scriptures. The whole prayer is just references and quotes from the Bible, from the Psalms in particular. And these Psalms were written 200 years before Jonah was alive. So he'd learned them, he'd studied them, he'd read them. And now that he's got them, there's no light, there's no Bible, but it's in his heart. And that's where the treasure chest was opened in order that it helped him. And the question is, how do the scriptures help us to pray? Well, I could spend a whole morning on that if you wanted, but we won't now. How do scriptures help us to pray, particularly the Psalms? Well, they enter into our feelings. They express what we find sometimes hard to put into words. They tell us about how God deals with people. They show us that God is merciful and gracious. The Psalms in particular are a wonderful resource for anybody who's struggling. And they're a wonderful resource for someone who's glad too, because there's a whole lot of Psalms. A third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. They're the sad ones. You know, when people are struggling, they're Psalms of lament. And then there's two-thirds, Psalms of praise. Right? So you've got the right mix, haven't you? Right. Thank God. Sorry?
And encouragement.
And encouragement, of course. So Jonah's going to pray from the scriptures. And I want just us to look at those and see how he does it and how it can help us too. So let's have a look at our next one, please. So, scriptures remembered. He's learned them, remember? He's learned these scriptures. And Jonah's prayer. I put them opposite each other so we can compare them. So chapter 2, verse 2 of Jonah's prayer is, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. Right. I called to the Lord and he answered me. And Psalm 120 verse 1 is, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. Well, the NIV has translated them as different tenses. You notice that. One's in the past tense, the other one's in the present. Well, in fact, in the original Hebrew, it's exactly the same words. I call to the Lord, I call to the Lord. He will answer me, he does answer me. Right? So, Jonah's praying this Psalm 120, verse 1. And there's something wonderful about Psalm 120. And I said we may be looking at these on Wednesdays. There's a whole series of Psalms, 15 of them, that are called Psalms of Ascent, or Psalms of Pilgrimage. They were psalms that were sung by the people who were travelling from Babylon to Zion, to Israel, or the pilgrim feasts during the year when they travelled from all over Israel up to Jerusalem. They sang these songs on the way. They sang, and when they arrived in Jerusalem, they went up the steps singing these songs. So they're songs of ascent. That's what they're called. And I think there's a lovely little thought. It's songs for going up is the literal word. Songs for going up. Well, Jonah starts his song when he's down at the bottom with a song for going up. We know which direction he's going to be going in then, don't we? He calls on God. He says, I'm going to draw close to you. I want to get near to you, Lord. Yeah. So that's his first bit. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. And then he says, you hurled me into the depths in the very heart of the seas and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And that's a quote from Psalm 88, verse 6. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. He's quoting the psalm. Now then, Psalm 86, as I've written there, it's a different story. It's about David, I believe, and when he was in trouble. Now, David never finished up in a fish in the sea, right? But the experience of the troubles and the trials that David faced, he could describe them almost as if he was a drowning man. And so when he puts that psalm together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that psalm's ready and waiting for a man who is drowning. And Jonah prays that one as he speaks to God. And it'd be a different experience, different situation, but the same feelings inside him. So the lovely thing about the psalms is they may have been written 3,000 years ago for us now, but they talk about life as it really is, in situations that really happened, and really happened to us, and they've got just the right way of saying, "Help, Lord." Yes? So he's describing his situation. So that's verse 3. Let's move on, please. So we get next to verse 4. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. Now, how about that? From inside a fish, in the dark, under the sea, and he says, I will look again toward your holy temple. He's looking to God, isn't he? He's looking for God to do something. Lord, help me. And this verse is the key verse in the whole prayer, I believe. There's the verse at the end is fantastic, of course, but this is the key verse that changes everything. Because what he's doing is, he's recalling 1 Kings 8:38. He's not recalling the passage itself, but what Solomon prayed. When the temple was built, that magnificent temple that Solomon built, for God to come and dwell in. As they dedicated the temple, it says that the priests wanted to minister and bring offerings to God and sing his praises. They couldn't, because the cloud of the glory of God so covered the place that they just couldn't get in. And God came! God came! And there they were, all these people realizing that God had come to dwell amongst his people in his temple. Well, Solomon makes this prayer. As that dedication service. And look, he just notices, Jonah knows this. So he reads this, and he's got it in his heart. And Solomon is saying, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts, and spreading out their hands towards this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know every human heart, so that they will fear you all their time, all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors. So he says, Solomon says, if people turn to your temple, Lord, will you do this? When they turn, because of their foolishness and their sin, and he says, you know, everyone aware of the old afflictions of his heart. Do you think Jonah had suddenly realised he'd got it all wrong? Well, yes, he turns to the Lord, and I'm not sure what direction the fish was pointing in at the time, but it doesn't matter what the geographical direction was, he turned in his heart to the temple, the place where God dwelt and had come amongst his people. And he turns towards the temple, and Solomon says, if he does that and spreads out his hands towards you, Lord, then, Lord, do this! Hear from heaven. That's great. God can hear down in the sea from heaven. Hear from heaven and forgive and do something. Act. Act. Right, so that's Jonah's prayer. That's the key to the prayer. Once he's got that key, he's going to unlock this fish for him. Right, he's going to be able to get out. So, but he's not there yet. He's not there yet. Let's have a look at the next one. So, verse, he's gone down a bit after this, yes. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. He's doing what Peter did. You know, as Jesus called Peter to come out of the boat and walk on the water, Peter's doing great while he's looking at Jesus. But the moment he looks at the wind and the waves, glug glug is the possibility. Yeah? And poor old Jonah, he's just had a look at the temple and now, oh, where am I? He's realistic. This is a terrible place to be. The engulfing waters threaten me. Well, Psalm 69, verse 1, is what he's thinking. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths. There is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. That's a long way of saying help, please. But he's describing his situation. A different situation, but the psalm applies to Jonah. It'll apply to you sometimes. You may not be drowning, but you may be drowning in things. You know what I mean? Okay, and then, verse 6. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Well, he's in the fish at the moment. He's talking by faith now, isn't he? Right? You brought my life from the pit. I think he's been thinking about Psalm 40. Do you know the psalm? We should have had that song this morning. He took my feet from the miry clay. Well, it says, the psalm goes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Isn't that interesting? That's literally, he turned to me. You know, God doesn't put his back to you. He turns to you. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. I bet it was. Literally for poor old Jonah. Lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Wow. That's a song to sing, isn't it? When you're stuck in a rotten old place. He lifted me out of the uncertain place and gave me somewhere to stand that I could feel my feet on solid ground. Well, that's Jonah praying there, verse 6. Come on, please, next one. Right. Scriptures remembered. Jonah's prayer. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. See, he's got back to the temple again. Right, the it's not the building itself. It's God who dwells there, is what he's looking at. Right. And it's back to that 1 Kings 8, 38. Spreading out their hands towards the temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act. Right. Lord, do something. Okay. And then verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Well, he's managed to turn some sailors away from worthless idols. But he's saying, look, Lord, I've turned to you, the real God. Not some stone, not some idea, not some make-believe God. I've turned to the real God. That's what Elijah's challenge was, wasn't it? Before, when the prophets of Baal and so on were about. He said, Elijah said to the people, if Baal is God, worship him, serve him. But if the Lord is God, worship him. He says, this is how we'll test it out. We'll build an altar, put the sacrifice on it, but don't light the fire. And the God who answers by fire, he will be the God that we'll follow, right? And then what did Elijah do? He poured water on it. Made it really hard for God. No, it wasn't hard for God. He made it really convincing for the people. That was the point. Right? And he prayed, God, you are the only God. You're the real one. Do it, Lord. He says the fire fell, and it didn't just burn up the altar and the sacrifice, it burnt the stones and cleaned up the water as well. Demonstration of power. Well, he says those who cling to worthless idols can't call on the help of God because God's not there being called on. Right? So Jonah says, it's you I'm talking to, Lord. It's you. Please listen. Right? And then verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Well, if they turn away from God's love for them, if they turn to God, then they might find out God's love for them. I think Jonah's got a good idea here. Let's move on. Right. So, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. That's a great thing to sing, isn't it? Inside the fish. Right. I with shouts of grateful praise. Well, when you're in the bottom and the waters are above you, are you going to be shouting grateful praise? If you've got the psalms in your heart and you've turned to God, even there, you can do it. Jonah did. And again, it's back to that Psalm 40 verse 3, isn't it? He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. Thank the Lord and put their trust in him. Yes, he puts a song in your heart. Is that wonderful?
Yeah.
God can do that. Even in the midst of what's terrible situations, God can put a song in your heart. I pray he'll do that for all of us, yeah?
Yes.
And then the last bit of Jonah's prayer is simply this. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's the message of Jonah. That really is the theme of the book. Salvation comes from the Lord. God wants to save. Yes. And it comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. And Psalm 3 is what he's quoting. From the Lord comes deliverance. Now, I'm not trying to bamboozle you with science or whatever, anything else like this. But Psalm 8 in Hebrew says, Le Yahweh HaYeshua, which is, to God, the salvation, or the deliverance. Yeah? And Jonah prays, Yeshua Ta La Adonai, or La Yahweh, as we like that, yeah? Right? Okay, so he's saying it, he's saying the same thing, he's just praying in different orders. He's praying the psalm. Salvation comes from the Lord. But Jonah has a different understanding of salvation than most of modern Christians do. Right? Jonah's idea of salvation is a lot bigger than ours. Yes, I think. Because we talk about seeing saved from our sins, going to heaven and all of that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's important. Right? But Jonah is a man in the here and now as well as the there and then. Yes? And you're a person in the here and now and there and then. The word salvation, translated in Psalm 3, from the Lord comes deliverance. That's part of the meaning. God does something now as well as then. That's what salvation's about. God saves you now. You can say, I am saved, if you put your trust in Jesus today. Not only will I will be saved, I am saved. And so Job is saying, Lord, from you comes deliverance. And we know what deliverance Jonah is thinking about, don't we? It's not about getting to heaven, it's about going to earth. Right? Out of the sea, onto the land. Of course, that's part of God's deliverance, salvation work as well. So, from the Lord comes deliverance. But, I think there's something else in that. I'd mentioned, you know, Jesus talked about the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah, having been in the fish 3 days and three nights, saw the Son of Man, who would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But I think there's more to it than that. And I'll just say this again, right? Psalm 3, verse 8, from the Lord comes deliverance, right? And the phrase is, L'Adonai HaYeshua. Now, does that sound anything you might recognise?
No.
Where's that Yeshua bit?
It's Jesus.
Ha is the. So it's from the Lord, the salvation. From the Lord, ha, Yeshua. Now, who's Yeshua?
Jesus.
That's his name. Right. I'd like to suggest it's another sign of the prophet Jonah. When Jonah is saying, from the Lord comes salvation. When Jesus is saying, it's the sign of the prophet Jonah. He was 3 days and three nights in the fish. Yes. But what Jonah prayed was, from the Lord comes Yeshua. Right? And that's not just salvation. That's not just deliverance. That's the person. From the Lord comes, and that was the one thing that Jesus was speaking to the people didn't want to have. They'll believe that God saves, they'll believe that God brings deliverance, but they won't have it in the person of this one who's telling them right in front of them. His name is Jesus. He's the Saviour. And so Jonah is another sign to us. Yes? From the Lord, from God himself, comes Yeshua, our salvation, our deliverer. Praise the Lord. Right, let's move on. And then, I've got some valuable lessons for us to learn from Jonah's prayer. I think there's about five of them. Number one is, since God hears sincere prayers from anywhere on earth, there's no excuse for not praying. Right? If God can hear you, wherever you are, talk to him, please. Yeah? He loves to hear your voice. He knows what you're going to say, and he's already answered. But he still likes to hear you. Yes. All right? Okay, so God can hear. No excuses, dear friends. Number two. Know the vital place of Scripture in times of trouble. For Jonah, where was the Scripture for Jonah? In his heart. Right. It wasn't on a book. Wasn't on the shelf. Wasn't somewhere out there. It was in here, in his heart. That's where you need them. I've used this silly illustration before. But if someone's going to play football, right, when they go on the pitch, they don't take the rule book with them, do they? So they don't have to look up, what do I do now as the ball's coming towards them? It's already in there. When you need it, there isn't time to read it. There's times you know it and you can use it. Right, so when you need it, don't read it, use it. Okay, not the vital place of Scripture in times of trouble. So, question, are you prepared for troubles and trials? Or are you preparing? What I'm asking is, do you read the Bible and do you try to learn what it says? You have to read. That takes work. But friends, you're providing yourself with a toolbox that will help you when you're in the difficult, troubled situations that you'll find yourselves in. We all get there. Life has a way of dumping this stuff on us, doesn't it? So, friends, are you prepared? I'm preparing. Jonah was ready for the time when he needed it. Right. Jonah knew his Bible and pleaded the promises. Now that's something a little bit further than just knowing the passages. Jonah understood what they were saying. So he thought about them. He'd not just learned them, he'd thought about them, and he pleaded the promises. That's an old-fashioned phrase. I don't know if you've come across that before. To plead the promises. What he does was, he read what God says. I will look to your temple and hear and forgive. So Jonah says, Lord, you said it, do it, please. Right? That's called pleading the promises, yes? When you read what God promises, and you say, Lord, please do this. Do fulfill what you said you'll do. He's pleading the promises. Right? And you can't plead the promises if you don't know the promises. But that was a bit beforehand. But he's not only just learned them, he's understood that God means what he says and is able to help when you call out to him. One more? Two more, in fact. Yes. What does Jonah's prayer tell us? God is good. Certainly. Jonah, bless you. Yes. God is good. He was praying to someone he knew was good. That God was able to listen, God was able to help, and God was willing to help. God is good. All the time. We've got that song at the end, by the way. Right. Last but not least of the lessons from Jonah's prayer. Jonah knew his God, the God of Israel, and his God. And he knew the God of Israel as his God. Because he said Jonah prayed to his God. And he talks about in his prayer, he says, Lord, I pray to you. I'm calling on you, Lord. Right? So he's a personal relationship with the living God. That's so important. I mean, it's good to know who God is and how wonderful he is. But, you know, you can do that from a distance. And the thing that God wants for all of us is he wants us to come closer. Closer. To know him better. To be able to say, Lord, he loves me. You know, I was in Lidl's on Friday, and one of the young shop assistants, I've seen her, she's not been well sometimes, and just inquired about her health. And while we were in the queue, she went back to get some bottles of wine or something like that. Oh, my wine to drink or whatever it was she was going to get. And then she came back with them. I said, you know, there's something better than wine. She said, what's that? She was very interested then. It's to know that Jesus loves you. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that, yeah. I said, well, my love, let me tell you, the sun's still shining when the clouds are in the sky. Still there. God does love you. Jesus loves you. There's nothing better. So, Jonah knew his God. He knew that he disobeyed and all of that, but he knew it was his God. Do you have a personal relationship with God? That's the real question. You know? Because there is no substitute for that. Religion does not satisfy. No? Only Jesus, only knowing God is your Father, is the one thing that makes the difference. And God wants you to know that. God doesn't want you in the dark. He's not there making it hard and difficult. God wants you to know him as best as you can. Wow. Right, so Jonah, he learned a few things in that fish, I guess, didn't he? So let's move on now. Right, so there was an amazing answer to the prayer. See, God can answer prayers as well. Not always the way you want, but he answers. Right? And I remember hearing that comedian, Ken Dodd, sad situation. He had a partner, I believe, and the partner contracted cancer and was dying. And he prayed for her and she died. And Ken Dodd said this, I remember hearing, he says, when you keep on asking and nobody answers, or when you keep on asking and you don't get an answer, you assume there's nobody there. That's so sad, isn't it? Yeah. He did get an answer. It's just the answer he got, he didn't want. I'm afraid that's how it is. Yeah. But Jonah got an answer that he did want, thankfully, on this occasion. He says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Wonderful, eh? Right. That was a rather good answer. Yes. I don't know where in the scale of time that happened. That prayer that we read is only a couple of minutes to say. Right? Whether Jonah died and then after 3 days was resurrected and dumped, yeah? Or whether, you know, somehow he died and then he was raised and then he prayed and he was dumped, I don't know. Or whether he just sort of prayed and then swooned for the next 3 days, I don't know. But whatever it was, eventually the prayer got answered after 3 days. See? 3 days is a long time when you're down below, you know. Yeah? God, why don't you do something now? Well, I am doing something now, but it's... What was God doing now when Jonah prayed?
He's preparing him.
He's preparing Jonah, but something else. He was doing something with the fish. He's getting it to where? Landing point. Right. He's guiding the fish to where Jonah is, square one actually. Yeah. Jonah had gone to square 99. He was over in heading for Tarshish, you know. Back to square one, Jonah, as you'll see next time. So let's have a look. Just this, it's a little, sorry about this, just before lunch, but let's have a look at the next one. Here we are, whale vomit. Quite a bit interested to know. Yes. I mean about whale vomit. Right. Now then, you're... Right. On the 30th of January 2013, a man from Morecambe believes his dog has found a rare piece of whale vomit while walking on the beach. Ken Wilman said when Madge the dog started poking at a rather large stone, he realised it was unusual. He left the ambergris, have you heard of ambergris?
Yes.
Ah, well, that's what it is. He left the ambergris on the beach, but something triggered in my mind. And, after doing some research, he went back to get it. The substance which is found in the digestive system of sperm whales is valuable and is used in perfume. Mr. Wilman said, when I picked it up and smelled it, I put it back down again and I thought, it has a musky smell, but the more you smell it, the nicer the smell becomes. Well, that's weird, isn't it? But it is used as a base in perfumes. One of the chemicals it produces is synthetically produced now and still used as a base in perfumes, right? Anyway, he's now waiting to get the 3 kilogram or 7 pound piece tested and said he had been offered €50,000, £43,000 for it by a French dealer. Right, so that's a bit about whale vomit. I thought you'd be interested to know about whale vomit. That's the sort of stuff that Jonah was with. Yes, not nice. No, in fact, this has been floating in the water for a good many years. That's why it's so rare. It gets rid of all the rotten stuff and it produces this rather nice perfumey stuff. Anyway, let's move on. Right, so he finishes up on dry land. Well, he says he was vomited up on dry land. I don't think you can see the picture very well. It's rather dark. It's a painting done in 1617. It's a beached whale. The whale beached between Scheveningen and Katwijk, with elegant sightseers. They've all come on horses and all their fine clothes to look at this poor old whale that's washed up on the beach. I assume when he says Jonah was vomited onto dry land, it was that the fish was dying and it got beached and has, of course, emptied the contents of his stomach on the ground. He says dry land. Well, it means solid ground, I suppose. It is dry, the word's dry, but it means solid ground rather than the water in the sea. I assume he landed on the beach with a bit of water around him so he could get washed off from all that ambergris and everything else. Yeah? Right, so, he's landed on dry land. He's got there with his fish that I assume was beached. But just one interesting question about the fish. It might not have. It might have just been sick of Jonah. Literally. And got rid of him. You know, and then swam off. I don't know. But let's have a look. Just one more little bit. Useful information. Those of you who are sailors, you know all about the tides. Yes. The tides come and the tides go at King's Lynn. Even in Wisbeach, the tide rises and goes, doesn't it? Yes, on the river. In the Mediterranean, there is virtually no tide. It's the way the land lies and all of the geographical features of that. Yeah. And this is a map of the Mediterranean, and the dark bit is where there is zero tide, and the light bit is where the tide rises up to half a metre. That's all. Top to low is half a metre. Right? So where Jonah is going, right? The tide is only round about 10 to 20 centimetres. So the tide just changes that much. So the whale's not going to be beached
by the tide. What I'm saying is God got the whale where he wanted, when he wanted, and Jonah is out of the fish. Okay, that's one. Right, so the other thing, and if you've got the King James Version or other versions, it says, the NIV says, God commanded the fish, and he vomited him out. Yeah. Sorry to keep using this word at lunchtime, by the way, but it says God, the literal word is God spoke to the fish. All God has to do is just say the word, and things happen. He said to the fish, that's where you're going, and when the fish got there, he says, that's enough, dump him. Right? And God spoke, and it happened. So, dear friends, that's it, I think, is it? Last one. Yeah, that's it. So, there's the prayer of Jonah. And as I said, I've really been blessed in looking at him, how he uses the Psalms and so on. And I'd just like to pray this morning, if we can. If there's a situation in your life, you may not be stuck in a fish down at the bottom, but, you know, the pressures are on, things are dark, you can't see a way out, well, that's the time to pray. Yeah? And God's still there. And when we say, Jonah said, I pray to your temple. Right. What's the temple today? Because it's not in Jerusalem now, you know, it's broken down, it was destroyed. There was a temple. Jesus said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And they thought he was, they said, you can't do that, it's taken 40 years to build this place. And you're going to build it in 3 days? And John, I think it's in John's letter, Gospel, he says he wasn't talking about the literal physical temple, he was talking about the temple of his body. In 3 days he rise from the dead. So if you look to the temple, it's God, Yeshua, Jesus, God will be there. Well, let's just pray. Father, you know, all of us here, as Jonah said, there's nobody knows, nobody whose hearts are hidden from you, Lord. You see, you know everything about every one of us. And if there are folks here this morning who are in the depths, Lord, and struggling, Lord, I pray you'll help them to look to you, to call on you and plead the promises that you make, Lord, that you'll help those that say sorry and help. Lord, they're not long words, they're hard to say sometimes, Lord, but sorry and help, please, Lord. Thank you, we can ask. And Lord, thank you, you're able and willing to work wonders for us. I just bless you for this amazing prayer. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, they touch every aspect of our hearts and our lives. Just bless you for them, Lord. And praise you, Lord, you answered his prayer. You brought deliverance. You set him out of the prison he was in, Lord, and put him on the ground, put a new song in his mouth of praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercies. Amen.